This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hi, I'm David Cottrell, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Euros with Luke and Mitch. Dun, 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 dun. It's time to get your daily fix. Dun, 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 dun. So go on, gab yourself a coffee, dun dun dun. Or maybe you prefer a cup of tea. Euros with Luke and Mitch, dun 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 dun. And don't you know they don't cost a thing, dun dun dun. So go on, give us a stream. It's the Daily Euro 21. Hello everyone, Mitch here. It is Sunday, the 20th of June, and it's our latest daily show reflecting on Euro 2020. Lots to talk about again, but I'm going to start somewhere a little bit different than normal this time. Before we get into the games, I just want to say in general, because you only often talk about officials when people are moaning about them, but how good have the referees been at this tournament so far? I think they've been brilliant. They've proved why they're elite officials, why they're the best from around Europe. For me, they've got many of the decisions correct. They've refereed the games, you know, without fuss. They've got on with it. They've let the games flow. It's contributed to the spectacle that we've had so far, the great tournament. And also, in terms of VAR as well, it's been applied correctly. I think we, you know, a lot of the time when we've spoken about VAR a lot on the show before, where we've made the point that it's not necessarily the technology doesn't lie. The technology isn't making mistakes. It's the application of it that could be improved. And I think this tournament has shown that, you know, decisions can be made quickly without long delays in the game. And I think that VAR has been used as it should in this tournament. So a quick shout out to the officials, because I think they've contributed to what's been a great tournament so far. Start somewhere a bit different. But moving on to the games proper, starting with that amazing atmosphere in Hungary, in Budapest, where Hungary battled to a point against France. Could have been more. They took the lead. Clever 1-2. They broke away and scored in the first half when really France had so much to play. It almost looked like it was going to be a matter of time before Mbappe scored in particular. But they rode their luck. They rode the storm. They got in front, and boy, the fans, the players and the fans enjoyed that one, didn't they? Strangely, but for all their kind of defensive resilience, they'll actually be a little bit disappointed with how they conceded the goal in the second half to Griezmann, because it was a long ball forward. It was a long kick out from Lloris, and the two centre-halves just let the ball bounce. And the second they let the ball bounce, they were in big trouble. And Mbappe used his strength, cut the ball across, and the defender was sticking a leg out, and he actually inadvertently poked it right in front to Griezmann. And he tucked it away with a simple finish. So for all of that resoluteness, the goal was quite route one for France, for all the quality they have. But they didn't quite click, did they? Although they had lots of the play in the first half, they could have easily got in front. They didn't quite click at all, France. And you couldn't really argue with Hungary getting a point. The question was really whether they'd fade with all the effort that they put into the game, like they did against Portugal, Hungary. They didn't. They stood firm. They managed to have spells where they kept the ball reasonably well, between the goalkeeper and the defence, which meant they were able to get little breaks, and it wasn't just wave after wave of attack. So they were able to hold on this time, and like against Portugal, they got the point. And obviously, what that meant going into the Germany-Portugal game was still all to play for in terms of who might top the group, because France had then opened the door slightly. And And well, it was a great game, wasn't it? It was a great game in Munich. Germany came out the traps absolutely firing, and it was such against the run of play, that Portuguese goal, that Ronaldo goal. But I think for all the brilliant goals we've seen at this tournament, for all the great, you know, finishes, whether they're from long range or spectacular in that sense, I actually, this is my favourite goal of the tournament so far, this Portugal goal, their first goal from Ronaldo, because of the breakaway. So the corner comes in, and Ronaldo is the man who makes the header, defensive header. And although he ends up with a tap-in, it's the fact that he's then sprinted from one end of the field to the other. So yes, it's a tap-in, it's a simple finish, but it's not a simple goal if you look at what Ronaldo has to do, because he has to, after making that header, he's then busting his guts to get from one box to the other. So that you make that a simple finish by the work you put in, by the work that he's put in there. So it's far from a simple goal in his eyes, and it's a beautiful goal. Bernardo Silva's lovely float to the back post, onto the onrushing Diogo Jota. And Jota's ball across to Ronaldo, very, very unselfish, but weighted perfectly. Ronaldo doesn't have to break his stride and then can tap it in simply. It was a brilliant counter-attack. And really, it was a sucker punch, because Germany, as I said, came up the trap so fast, had a goal disallowed from of their own. And, it could have really deflated the Germans, because after the result they had in the first game, after the result that they, you know, after the loss against France, they could have easily, you know, they could have easily, their heads could have dropped. And you know, we could have seen Portugal go for strength, but credit to Germany. All it did is it just sort of fired them up even more. And they absolutely battered Portugal from then on. Portugal were just being undone. I think it was just wave after wave of attack, really. It was Kimmich from the right hand side, and Gosens from the left hand side, and they just had so much space on the wings, and their runs, and their ball, their delivery, and their runs to the back post. Gosens was the man who had the goal disallowed at the start with a lovely finish, and he was, I think, man of the match. Gosens, he came off after an hour, but he was brilliant. And there were two own goals, but that was because of the deliveries from German players, and Havertz was in there causing all kinds of problems. And yeah, they just really swarmed Portugal, and yeah, the joy they had from both the left-hand side and the right-hand side with the two wing-backs, with Gosens and Kimmich, was definitely noticeable. And then, yeah, they went from strength to strength at half-time. Havertz got his goal then. Gosens got his goal with a lovely header. Then he went off to a great reception, rightfully so. And although Portugal pulled one back, Germany were well worth the win. A quick shout out to Renato Sanchez for that absolute thunder blaster that came off the post. And I don't think I've seen a shot as quick as that ever. It was like when you go to watch a cricket game. If you go to watch a cricket game, you're sort of side on, and it's the first time you see it, and a 90 mile an hour bowler comes in and he delivers it, and you're like, where was that? I didn't see it. It was kind of like that. He smashed it and it absolutely rocketed off the post. It's probably still rattling now. That could have made for a nervous finish, because that would have made it 4-3. But really, as I said, Germany well worth the win. And for all the critics, and we question whether Germany would be good enough in this tournament in our preview on this show, but you've got to give credit to Germany, because they needed a response after that game against France. They were tentative, they kind of sat off France, they gave them a lot of respect. But this was a far more aggressive attacking Germany. This was a German side, I think, just reminded everyone, including myself, that they do have quality that can, you know, that they do have the nous in tournaments, that they can get the job done. And suddenly they've gone from, you know, in trouble to looking like a force. It's a very fickle world, isn't it, the world of football? But that meant that they gave themselves every chance in that group now. And France, suddenly, after winning that first game, they go into a game against Portugal in the last game, and it's not a plain sailing group for them anymore. So that one is shaping up to be very, very, very interesting indeed. And then, talking about very interesting groups and tight groups, we then went to Madrid, and it was Spain against Poland. Group E is also going to be really, really, really tight. Spain, after the goalless draw against Sweden, the Ferran Torres was dropped and replaced by Moreno, came in for him. Gerard Moreno was the only change, and there was a lot of talk about whether Alvaro Morata would be the man to make way. Ferran Torres can count himself quite unlucky, really, to be the man dropped, but instantly bringing in Moreno paid dividends, because it was his ball and his efforts that I think laid on the chance for Morata to score early on. And Morata obviously repaying some faith with that goal, although he did have chances, didn't he, including one, the rebound off the penalty later on. More on that in a minute. But again, Spain kind of flattered to deceive. They did create, probably didn't create as much as they did against Sweden, and they probably weren't as fluid as they were against Sweden, but they certainly had their chances. Second half, there was a few scrambles, but they were punished and by Lewandowski's header. I think he gave Laporte a little bit of a nudge, just one of those real sly, cheeky early ones that the officials didn't really see, or probably wasn't enough, perhaps, to give a free kick. Out-muscled him a bit, really. And he powered home a brilliant header, and he's come to the party now. He's off the mark. And boy, did Poland need that goal. They really needed that goal after losing surprisingly to Slovakia. So, again, this group is wide open. Spain had that chance. Moreno, in a way, I'm sorry for Morata, because Morata is going to cop it for that rebound miss off the penalty a little bit, I imagine, the way the Spanish press get into him. But it was Moreno who missed the penalty. And he might escape a bit of the scorn, because the rebound chance was a gilt-edged one. So, yeah, Morata's come to the party as well. But again, there will still be question marks about him, and there'll be question marks about Spain's cutting edge, really, because they don't have many goal scorers in the team. Their midfield isn't really a goal scoring midfield. Your goals are going to have to come from people like Morata. And if he's not clinical enough, then Spain could struggle in this tournament to go much further. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. You know, you still fancy Spain with the fixture they've got in their last game. Poland and Sweden could be an interesting battle, that one. So again, that's a wide open group. Shout out to Lojnak Szczesny for one of those combo scrambles, just literally diving at the feet of Morata to stop him getting any shot away. Some brave goalkeeping there to keep his side in it at 1-1. So that was games yesterday. Today's games, the Welsh are back in action, of course, in Rome against Italy, Turkey and Switzerland. Games kicking off at the same time now because they're the final fixtures. It'll be interesting to see what Rob Page does with his selection. There are three players, Chris Meffin, Ben Davis and Kiefer Moore, are all on a yellow card. Will he rest them? Will he rest other big players like Bale and Ramsey? Potentially. The only thing about resting people on a yellow card is that the cards don't reset until after the quarterfinals. So you could rest them in the hope that they don't get they don't get booked. But if you get through and they come back in for the round of 16, and get booked in the round of 16, then they're missing the quarters anyway. So it doesn't reset just yet. So there's a few interesting decisions. I think he will make some changes. I think he's hinted that he'll make some changes with some of the comments he made after the Turkey game. It's just a question of how much, because momentum can be a big thing in tournaments. And, you know, if you go to Rome and get a result against an Italy side now who have kept 10 clean sheets in a row in competitive games, in all competitions, are purring. But if you talk about creating moments for your fans, creating memorable moments, if you go to Italy and get any result here, talk about a memorable moment. So you don't want to pass that up completely. So there's a few difficult calls to make there. Chiellini's out for Italy, but Verratti is, I think, fit again. So, oh my God, you know, what prowess that they can call upon. Embarrassment of riches, and Italy, I think, looked the best in the tournament so far, don't they? So it will be a stiff task for Wales. And then when you look at Turkey and Switzerland, all to do. Turkey have been so disappointing in this tournament. I can't see them getting a result here. I think Switzerland were poor against Italy, really, weren't they? But they do have quality, and I expect them to turn over Turkey the way Turkey have been playing. But yeah, it'll be interesting. And then you think that Switzerland, no matter who finishes where, that probably this group is going to see Wales, Italy and Switzerland all progressing then, if that happens. But yeah, will be much to talk about and reflect on when Luke is back in the hot seat tomorrow. And yeah, one more thing to say. Come on, Wales! Oh yeah, and my prediction, obviously, is that Italy are going to win, of course.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
Using Anchor. If you want a podcast.